Hello and welcome to Care Insights with the Outstanding Society, the podcast channel created by the Outstanding Society to share and celebrate best practice whilst raising the profile of the social care sector. The Outstanding Society is a community interest company and membership is free to all, not just those who have achieved an outstanding rating. If you would like to join, please visit our website or follow the links in this episode.
I'm delighted today to have Anna Selby, Director of Quality at HC1. Anna's going to speak to us about kindness, the HC1 way. You used to be a Director of Kind Care at HC1, and the company see kindness is genuine. It comes from the heart. By fostering kindness in your homes, you build real connections between your colleagues, residents and relatives. There's lots of information I know that can be found on your website about this role. Such a big remit. How do you start to describe it?
Well, so it felt like the best job in the world, the easiest thing to do, and then suddenly it became the hardest thing, the most complicated. And how do you articulate kindness? You know, kindness, I often say this, kindness is a doing word, isn't it? You know, it's what you do as well, not just how you feel. And I tied myself up in absolute knots. But actually, the answer was always there in people and what the people would say, not just in, you know, met with residents and the people that are close to them. I talked to our colleagues, I talked to our leadership team, I talked to our stakeholders, talked to our regulators, talked to our commissioners. And I talked to people in the local community, you know, what do they think kindness in care looks like? That, and then things started to become much clearer. But, you know, go away and design a behavioural framework is easy to do. And that's why we'll talk about this later on. We moved away from the behavioural framework and more around a way of being, because I don't think that you can teach people to be kind. I think you can show them how to do things that demonstrate their kindness. But you know, it's not turn up to work with a smile on your face every day. It's about make sure that you know what impact you're having on people if you don't turn up with a smile on your face every day.
Yeah, and I think that's really interesting. I know that we'll move on to it later, but it's, you know, how do you measure that as well? But going back a step, let's talk about your team members. So did your team members embrace the project?
Oh, absolutely, because they've got a lot to say, you know, and they want to be the best they can be. We're seeing a huge, not a shift in the way that we want to be here at HC1, but we've got a very clear steer from our leader, James Tugendhat, about the culture that we work within and how we show up, how we lead others, how we listen, how we absorb and make meaningful change based on, you know, the feedback that we get, as much as the legislation we work within, the regulations we work within and the information that we know, so that we can truly advocate for people. And because, I mean, it was such a lovely, I just went and had a natter with a whole load of people. And people are really happy to tell you what they think, aren't they? Really happy to be a part of making that change. So it was a really big piece of co-production.
Fantastic. And how did relatives get involved as well as residents? Did you have conversations with them about the project?
Yeah, so we, at the same time, part of my remit was also around closing the feedback loops, and we were designing a new resident, relative and friends survey at that time. And so we wanted to do it a bit differently and ask meaningful questions around how it feels. And my question set was around what's important to people, what does it mean, why does it matter, what are we going to do about it, and how are we going to show up to do it? So I wasn't saying, are you happy with the quality of the food? I wasn't saying, what's important to you? And relatives were really, really keen to be involved in that conversation. And so we wrote the questions, we interviewed people, we talked through other colleagues at relatives meetings, we made sure that they were really involved. And this is quite an important thing. There was something about how do we talk to those people living with dementia whose current reality is different to the ones that the people around them remember. So we tried to make sure that when we spoke to people, we were really, we weren't asking people to be a proxy for somebody else. We were trying to understand what was their reality now, but actually what was the reality for you then? Because it's a bit of a silver bullet, isn't it? How do you really get the view of people living with dementia?
Yeah, no, I think that's really fascinating. And again, I think going back to the culture, how do you create that culture with so many residents, relatives, team members, and also staff turnover? So as people are coming and going, how do things get embedded into inductions and assessments of new residents?
Well, we made it really simple. So what we ended up with, and we took people on the journey with us. And in case I forget, bring me back to storytelling, won't you, Zoe? Because yeah, that's so important.
Okay.
To just explain how we got to the kindness, the issue on how we show up, I didn't end up with a behavioural framework at all. We had a series of conferences for each group. We're a large organisation, and we're broken down at that time into six groups. And we took our conference on the road and shared what we did. We built up a bank of I statements. This is what people have told me. Then through my thinking group, we worked out, what does that mean? What's our commitment back to you? And then from there, we tried to work out how we would build that into our framework. So I took it back out on the road with me, and I developed what I like to call the cup of tea principle. And I'd ask people questions like, if somebody said to you, what's important to you? It's really important to me that they know how I like my cup of tea. And I would say, what does that mean? So people say, well, they like the cup of tea a certain way. Yes, what else does it mean? Well, they like it that I know how to make their cup of tea, because it means I know them well enough. It means that I care about them enough to make sure that they want the tea in the right way. And, you know, it's really important to me. My story around cups of tea is that I like baby tea, and my mother to this day calls it an aberration. And I'm 58 years old, and I still feel like I'm being judged on how I drink my tea. So that was how we did it. Rather than try and write how you should be, we just started asking that question: what does it mean? What does it matter? What are we going to do about it? And how are we going to do it? And so, back to your question, it was more about influencing how people thought about what they were doing than telling them to follow a way of being. And that enabled us through those conversations to understand that there's really only five qualities that fulfill that framework, which is, you've got to be curious, you've got to ask questions, understand why, especially for those people that live with dementia. There's always something that they'll be able to tell you, even though they can't talk to you. Yeah. Be compassionate, be creative, care about it, be creative, find a solution, be courageous. It might not always be what you think is the right thing, but you've got to be brave for other people and always be counted on. And then that was it. That's it. That was 18 months work culminated in five words. But those five C's are for us kind of sexy one. And then you can talk to people about how they use that in practice on a day-to-day basis.
I think that's so fascinating. And I think just what you said about the cup of tea, I think that really resonates with so many different people. For me, it immediately made me think, I would hate having gravy in my Yorkshire pudding. And it's thinking about that detail. Well, actually, yeah, if you've lived your whole life and you don't have gravy all over your plate, it's so important. So it's making people think really differently. You asked me to remind you to talk about storytelling.
Yes. Yeah. So the other way, when I was out on my travels, I saw some amazing stuff, and I'd come back and write it up. And you know, it was just like, how this is a demonstration of kindness in action in our homes. And I'm going to tell you my favorite story at the time when I was doing my first little road trip that brings home to people all of the elements of the five C's. So it was a care home where a fella lived who had used to enjoy fishing, hunting, lived in the countryside, lived near water, had a stroke, hadn't been outside. This was not long after lockdown and had lost a lot of his mobility. And he had said to them, I just wish I could get back out and catch myself a fish. So they took him in a boat on a lake. They let him fish. He was enabled. He was supported to fish. He caught his own fish. He gutted his own fish. He cooked his own fish, and he ate his own fish for his tea that night. And I was thinking, it would be so easy to think, oh, I know, I'm sure you do, but it's, you know, it's really difficult to organise that. Actually, there is a solution. How do you have somebody who's immobile in a boat on water? Well, find a solution, be brave, and then be brave to let, enable him to do the things that he used to do, give him his agency back. Of course he can gut a fish with a sharp knife. Of course he can put it on a hot griddle pan, and of course he can eat it because he knows its providence. And so we just called that story Gone Fishing. And then we were able to put the stories up after each time to say that there's an example of kindness, there's an example of using those qualities, give it a name, make it real, make it personal. And that's how I think you really help people to understand the value of how you show up.
That's fantastic. I love that story. And as it's come into my head, as we've been talking more, what made the company decide that this is something that they wanted to look at in the first place? Because it's such a broad subject. What made them come up with this concept of this project?
So we've always been known as the Kind Care Company in all our 13 years. So I think our founder would say we're not the flashiest, but we can be the kindest. And that was a concept that when James came into post, it's in his DNA that we are kind to people. This isn't about them pretending to be kind because we're a care provider. It's about how are we kind? And at the start of it just before I joined, they'd created a wheel that demonstrated all the areas that we wanted to be able to show up in absolutely the right way. So care, living, kind care, kind living, kind leadership. Yeah, how do we look after our colleagues and make sure that they work in a psychologically safe space? Kind communities, we have to keep connected. Kind environment, what's our environmental responsibility? So it was this all round, and then there's the wheel. How do you define all of this? That actually will make that. That's who we want to be. It's how we want to be branded, but it's how we want to be, how we want to live up to that brand. I completely share James's view. We're in a privileged position to work with people, aren't we? We work with people and by people and for people, and so the kindness is what it's what anybody should expect out of somebody that supports them and enables them to live their best life.
Thank you. I think that's such a fantastic explanation. And I love the way it's not just about caring for the residents, it's caring for each other, being kind to each other, looking after your colleagues. I think that was really strong as well. I think, that makes such a wonderful place to work, doesn't it? If people are kind to each other. So tell me about how will you continue to champion this in your new role at HC1?
So we're at the point now where we know that this is our thing. This is showing up the HC1 way, and we've talked about it. And what's really fascinating and great about it is it's applicable to everything. So the five C's, that's how you write a care plan, isn't it? You ask those questions, you think of a solution, you make a good risk-based decision, and then you review it and make sure that you've done it. And you do it all because you care about that person's choices. It's how you hold a growth conversation. You ask your colleague how they feel. It covers everything. And so we use it as a framework for a lot of things. And we've got other chapters to our storybook. We've got Leading the HC1 Way, which was built on the back of the conversations that we had about what makes a good leader. And so we now have conversations about things through that lens. I'm going to use the five C's to address a problem, and we keep growing that storybook. So it's not just for me in my new role, it's for us as an organization now to live and breathe that as a set of qualities that we know that we want to instill. We support people through their induction and onboarding into this way of being. It's all of our training, all of our policy buildings are written with through the lens of how we use the five C's. I just want it to be a part of our DNA. I mean, I don't particularly want somebody to go five C's. What are they? What are those wide words? I want them to go, look, it's really important that we are curious and we ask questions and that we care about things and that we think about solutions before we give you a problem. It's becoming just a part of us.
Yeah, no, that's lovely. And I'd be interested to know, is it part of your recruitment process as well? So how do you not assess people, but establish if they're right for your organisation?
We've done a lot of work on actually we've done a lot of work on all of that part of the colleague journey, from how we attract people to how we keep people and how we make them feel happy in their work. And I learned through this that actually sometimes you really can do things differently. If you ask somebody, what does curiosity mean to you? You know, why do you think it's important in this setting? How can we use that framework to support our recruitment and attraction? And this is who we are as an organization. This is the work that we do. We're constantly having to evolve and improve, but at the heart of it is this culture of believing that there are some things that need to be true in order for us to provide the best service and support, care about people more than we care for people. So yeah, all of those processes have all include, and the way we use our language, Zoe, as well, is really important. You know, it's think about what we're going to say and say it in a way that reflects who we mean, who we think we are. So we've done a lot of work on things like how we write our colleague handbook, for example. The stuff you need to know, and here it is, but this is who we are, and this is how we show up.
That's great. And I know we've talked about culture, but taken a step further, is it a safe space to, in some ways, call people out if actually they're not behaving in a kind way?
Yes, and it's a framework to do that, isn't it? You know, I did a lot of reading about psychological safety as part of kind leadership, and how do we facilitate people feeling that they can do it? We've done quite a lot of work as a leadership team, so that we have to leave nothing unsaid. We have to be able, and I always say it's unkind to not tell somebody, isn't it? You know, you wouldn't let somebody fail. You'd want to enable them to succeed. And so actually it's tough and there can be fierce conversation, but that doesn't mean it's being unkind. So how do we then call it out in a safe way? And rather than things boiling to a head and then you hit a formal process, it's okay to feel it, say how you feel and how it makes you feel. And it's not okay to let things slide.
Fantastic, that's lovely. And I'd be really interested to know your thoughts on, if other organisations were wanting to look at something like this. Is it a model that could be replicated, or would you say that it's an organisational start at the beginning to actually find out from your residents, from the relatives, from your communities, what it means for them? What would your advice be around that?
That you'll probably come to the same conclusions as we did, because it's not saying somebody wants a television that works. It's not somebody saying I want to have my tea at a certain time. It's what is important to the individual and how you work that one through. I think it is really important to understand your and listen to your own residents, but do that thinking around why is that important? Why is it important that we change? What are we going to change? What are we going to commit to? That then has resonance, and we've had quite a big program of change, as all people are. You know, we're constantly evolving and moving, but we can say to our colleagues through our listening group, regular listening group, what do we need to do? What's important to you? And then that fits here. This is what we're going to do. But to be honest with you, everybody is an individual with a. You could ask somebody a question one day, it would be a different answer the next day. Everybody's an individual with changing circumstances, might live with some conditions, always have choices, but they might feel differently about what they want. So yes, do that listening, but the I statement isn't the end of it, because it isn't just about making somebody a cup of tea, is it? It's about what that means.
No, that's lovely. And how do you measure it? How do you ensure the impact, and that this culture is continuing?
It's all about experience, isn't it? Do people feel it? Do people feel it? It's not about whether it's slapped on walls or, but how do people live it? And the best for me, the impact for me is when I go into a home and I see that they've articulated their own journey in a way that reflects the C's. And this is what we do, and they can tell you that story. For me, storytelling, back to storytelling. Are we gathering them? Are we demonstrating them? It's a much less much more of an experiential, feely type thing, isn't it? Kindness. How do you measure kindness? Oh, it makes your head spin.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. What a fantastic project to lead on. You must be really proud. And I'm sure, as Director of Quality, what a lovely role to lead into as well.
Yeah,
Thank you
so
so much for sharing today.
my pleasure. Thank you very much, Zoe.
The Outstanding Society is a community interest company and membership is free to all, not just those who have achieved an outstanding rating. If you would like to join, please visit our website or follow the links in this episode.